All right. After the American Revolution ended in the 1780s, the citizens of the new United States moved north of the Ohio River into the Northwest. As they established homes, they saw many small, furry creatures known scientifically as, forgive me, Sciurus carolinensis. It's close. It took little time for the farmers to discover that the gray squirrels were their new enemy. Instead of being cute little forest dwellers, the squirrels proved to be a danger to the newly transplanted farmers when the animals suddenly and seemingly out of nowhere appeared by the millions. The squirrels ate freshly planted seeds as well as the crops ready for harvest. As the animals passed through the Northwest in what became known as squirrel movements or squirrel migrations, the naturalists of the 18th and 19th centuries pondered the reasons for the mass movements of the creatures. Theories as to why the squirrels migrated ranged from the depletion of food sources to insect infestations of their nests to a simple desire for new living spaces. The migrations made little sense to the humans in the Northwest, but soon a war between the American farmers and the squirrels began over ownership of the Western United States. The observers compared the squirrel movements to the flight of the devouring locust that Eastern European nations experienced. In the 1840s, Reverend John Bachman, traveling with John James Audubon, found that squirrels devoured everything on their way that is suited to a squirrel's appetite, and that they laid waste to the farmers' fields despite having their numbers thinned by hunters. Bachman noted that despite the numbers, the number of successful squirrel hunters, more grays appeared and were ready to fill up the ranks and call forth no empty threats of revenge. In the 1760s, Hector St. John de Crevecoeur, that's how they say it in Missouri, sorry, found gray squirrels to be the most beautiful inhabitants of the American forests, who traveled over the fences with the utmost agility and who could cut down ears of corn longer and heavier than the squirrel itself. Possessing a bushy tail that is 8 to 9 inches long, or half the length of its body, squirrels use their tails to climb, jump, or balance as they make their way through the forests. Male and female gray squirrels are similar in size and color, live 6 to 10 years, and produce litters twice a year. In addition, according to Dr. N. E. Jones in 1898, no species has ever shown greater numerical strength than the gray squirrel. Gray squirrels range from southern Canada to the Gulf of Mexico and from the Atlantic Ocean to 250 miles west of the Mississippi River. Reverend Bachman believed them to be admirably adapted to a residence on trees. Gray squirrels prefer living in deciduous trees, such as oaks, beeches, and hickories, but will live in conifer trees if necessary. As squirrels eat 2 pounds of food per week, living in fruit-bearing trees generally provided them with enough acorns, hickory nuts, walnuts, and butternuts for their diet. In addition, they also enjoy wild grapes, cherries, and hackberries. When necessary, squirrels eat green Indian corn and young wheat, frustrating Native Americans and farmers of the region when they saw the squirrels dining on their labor. They do not store a large cache of nuts for the winter, and during the cold months, they seldom leave their nests. Just after sunrise, the squirrels become industriously engaged in the search for food. They rest during the midday hours and then resume their active labors and amusements until sunset. When they find nuts and are no longer hungry, squirrels bury the excess nuts, thereby dispersing tree seeds, ensuring that the forest remains stocked with trees. If the squirrel happens upon a situation that appears dangerous, they flatten against the tree and sound an alarm by making a cucking sound. It works. All right, and flicking their tails to warn other grays in the area of a potentially dangerous situation. Squirrels have enemies, including weasels, foxes, gray wolves, coyotes, and lynx. Red-tailed hawks consider grays their natural and lawful prey. Squirrels also have parasites that can easily be considered their enemies, such as ticks, fleas, and tapeworms. They also have a mite that causes mange. Capturing a gray squirrel proves difficult because of the animal's extreme agility in climbing and running away. Having a few squirrels in the neighborhood who hunted nuts and ate the occasional corn cob was not a threat to American farmers. Instead, what concerned them was the number of squirrels that crossed their fields in movements or migrations, is what they called it back in the day, that happened irregularly and without notice. Dr. Jones, in 1898, reported that during these events, the number of squirrels were so great it would require many days for the marching column of several miles in width to pass any given point. Ernest Thompson Seton said that the early naturalists reported the numbers of squirrels were astounding, immense, and incredible. He estimated that squirrels could travel 5 miles per day and cover an area of 130 miles wide by 150 miles long. Further, Seton estimated that a person could see 2 yards on each side of the road, resulting in the number of squirrels per square mile to be approximately 30,000, or in the whole Northwest, nearing 500 million squirrels. He figured that prior to the advance of the American population into the West, the number of squirrels likely reached into the billions. In the 1740s, Peter Kamm, an explorer and naturalist from the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences, studied the plants of the Eastern 13 colonies. His journey led to the publication of Travels into North America, published in English in 1770. In his book, he describes the 1747 squirrel movement in eastern Pennsylvania, the earliest recording of such an event. In 1788, farmers reported a movement in Ohio where squirrels become itinerant, traveling simultaneously in millions from north to south, destroying whole fields of corn in just a few days. In the 19th century, movements continued throughout the Northwest. In 1807, Dr. Jones reported that in the Ohio River country, it became impossible to guard the fields after planting corn had taken place. T. Flint, in 1828, reported that thousands of squirrels in Indiana migrated in a southerly direction with a front of some regularity. Soon, farmers in the areas of Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Missouri experienced extensive squirrel movements. For example, Wisconsin, where I'm from, experienced at least 13 migrations in the 19th century and 4 more in the first half of the 20th century. These movements lasted 3 to 4 weeks, and the squirrels moved in a westerly direction, unlike their eastern relatives who tended to move in a southerly or easterly direction. Missouri, on the western side of the Mississippi River, experienced a great squirrel invasion in 1839, and in 1857, Texas, in the south central region of the United States, reported that the cornfields around the community of Palestine were literally alive with squirrels. Reports about the movements found them to be a very curious phenomenon and not easily accounted for, and noted that the squirrels became itinerant, traveling simultaneously in millions from north to south, destroying fields of corn in a few days like the locusts of Africa. Despite the multitudes of squirrels that traveled many miles, observers reported that the animals were in generally good condition and not in want of food. The gray squirrels ran through the treetops and over the open fields, but they also swam across large rivers, including the Mississippi, the Ohio, and the Merrimack. Entire armies of squirrels waited for calm weather to cross the rivers they encountered on their movements. Meriwether Lewis, of the Corps of Discovery and Lewis and Clark fame, reported squirrels crossing the Ohio River in 1803 at the start of his journey, Lewis's journey, to the Pacific Ocean. Some reports noted that squirrels joined a boat in the river, but if the boat went in an undesirable direction, they will soon jump out and resume swimming. Precisely how the squirrels crossed the river has led to some wonderful but likely apocryphal stories. In the 1820s, a lumberman in Ohio received an order to deliver 100,000 shingles to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but all the shingles had disappeared. People reported to the businessmen that the squirrels took the shingles, turned them into rafts, and used them to float down the Ohio River. In another tale of the squirrel's sailing ability, Audubon and Bachman, good sources, in 1846 reported that when squirrels crossed the Ohio and the Hudson Rivers, they would search out a suitable piece of bark and, seizing the opportunity of a favorable breeze, seat themselves upon this substitute for a boat, hoist their broad tails as a sail, and float safely to the opposite shore. While the squirrels did not cross a river in Texas in 1857, the grays moved by the thousands across the state, making frantic leaps through the grass to see the land ahead of their movement. The squirrels formed a column from the northwest to the southeast, and not a single squirrel seemed disposed to swerve from its course as they continued on their journey. They frequently ran under wagons and over the horses as if those objects did not exist. The thousands of squirrels took nearly an hour to pass by the Texas family, who described the incident and found humor in the situation. Having crossed rivers that were up to 1 mile wide, the squirrels napped or trimmed their fur before resuming their journeys. Despite the success rate of crossing the rivers, hundreds of squirrels drown in the attempt. People in the region gathered the dead squirrels that lined the river's edges and took home the fresh meat for themselves and their hogs. For those squirrels that made it to the opposite side, they were far from safe, as boys and dogs waited their arrival and killed them and took them home for their respective dinners. In the early 1820s, reports indicated that approximately 19,000 squirrels were killed after crossing a Wisconsin river, and their numbers did not appear to be sensibly diminished by the club-bearing Wisconsinites. When the many thousands of grays that crossed fields or rivers, or with the many thousands of grays that crossed fields and rivers, farmers had a difficult time protecting their crops. To help the citizens save their crops, colonies and later states offered bounties for squirrel scalps. In the mid-18th century, the colony of Maryland required that its residents present the surveyor with 4 dead squirrels per person. Other colonial areas paid citizens 2 to 4 pence for each dead squirrel. In 1741, Westford, Massachusetts distributed bounties for 4,762 squirrels, and in 1749, the colony of Pennsylvania paid 8,000 pounds to its citizens for having killed approximately 600,000 squirrels. The new American states passed legislation creating squirrel taxes. In 1807, the state of Ohio enacted a statute whereby every person in the state was required to bring a specified number of squirrel scalps to their respective county offices. Originally intended as merely a tax, Ohioans could pay their tax and earn additional funds by bringing in extra scalps. Despite the law, the number of squirrels remained about the same. Another method to control the squirrel population included community-organized squirrel hunts, such as those in Kentucky and Missouri. On Christmas Day, 1833, 30 hunters in Fulton, Missouri, killed 1,200 gray squirrels. The hunt became an annual event for many years. Communities also vied against one another to see which group could kill the largest number of squirrels. While hunting squirrels rarely proved successful in attempting to control the gray's population, farmers, such as those in Missouri, encouraged their friends and neighbors to scatter bushels of corn along the edges of their fields to distract the squirrels from newly planted fields. Other farmers trained their sons to protect the farmers' fields by shooting the squirrels with rifles. The boys became expert marksmen and could put a ball through the head of a squirrel 60% of the time. Despite the growing population of the United States and its move across the continent, squirrel movements continued into the 20th century. Reports of the events match those of earlier centuries. Witnesses reported seeing a continuous movement of grays, squirrels drowning in the lakes and rivers, and invasions of cornfields. Even the cute stories of squirrels using their tails to steer by or hopping aboard boats to get to their destination remain similar. The most significant squirrel movements in the 20th century occurred in 1946 and 1968. The 1946 movement took place in northern Wisconsin, and just like in the earlier events, the squirrels swam lakes and rivers, crossed highways, and invaded cornfields. Despite the similarity to the previous century's movements, in this event, no two animals were headed in the same direction, according to game warden Jones of Ellsworth, Wisconsin. The movement covered an area of 180 miles by 60 miles, but the total number of squirrels had dropped into the thousands rather than the previous millions. The 1968 squirrel migration moved from New York to Alabama. The area around the Hudson River in New York found squirrels moving in both directions, and the river's banks littered with squirrel bodies. During the movement, state wildlife departments began to define movements by the number of squirrel bodies found along the highways and decided that one body per mile constituted a migration. Thousands of squirrels died in the 1968 movement, but for the first time, scientific teams studied the event. The study showed nothing unusual, but surmised that the squirrels were hungry, as the chestnuts from 1967 had been consumed. The damages wrought by squirrel movements throughout the last two centuries have cost millions of dollars in damage. And 2 weeks ago, one squirrel took out 8 buildings on my campus at 6:10 at night. Poof! 50,000 volts. All right, anyway, they took care of it in an hour. The squirrel's dead. All right, squirrels have eaten fields of corn and wheat, build nests in buildings and attics, and destroyed electrical wiring and woodwork. The mischievous habits and petty larcenies have caused many to dislike the gray squirrel. Their army left nothing outdoors in the way of subsistence as they journeyed through various areas of the United States. The reasons for the gray squirrel movements or migrations are still not entirely understood. The movements are not seasonal nor annual, and the squirrels do not return the next year to their original homes. They are instead wholesale movements from one area of the country to the other. Several possible explanations have been suggested for the squirrel movements. Overpopulation is a possibility, as it may have led to a lack of food and therefore the need to move to better areas. Further, there are no known recorded movements when squirrel populations have been low, making competition for food insignificant. Another theory is that movements are not migrations at all, but instead emigrations, and could result as a response to local conditions, such as a lack of food. In 1846, Audubon and Bachman suggested that some inexplicable instinct encouraged the grays to move, and even posited that squirrels sought adventures in other regions. As it stands now, movements may remain a mystery and may never happen again because forests in the United States are so fragmented that gray squirrels do not know in which direction to move and choose instead to remain in their current abodes. Gray squirrels have been introduced into the American West, such as the state of Washington, as well as into the Canadian Western Province of British Columbia. They are also in Australia, South Africa, and as most of you likely know, the United Kingdom. Hunting remains a common activity, and in 2016, Missouri harvested approximately 600,000 squirrels that produced 300,000 pounds of high-quality, locally sourced protein. They also provide ecotourism for nature watchers. While Americans think gray squirrels remain one of the most interesting animal phenomenon, the British do not. Didn't know that till I did this research. The gray squirrels did not swim across the Atlantic Ocean in an easterly movement, but instead they were brought to the United Kingdom by the 11th Duke of Bedford, Herbrand Russell. Forgive the pronunciation. He released them at his home in Woburn Park in the late 19th century. In 2011, Clive Aslett, writing for the Telegraph, claimed that grays are the rodent versions of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And in 2014, the Telegraph called gray squirrels the most determined interlopers since the Vikings. They are now listed in the International Union for Conservation of Nature as one of the worst invasive non-nature species in the United Kingdom, and it remains illegal to rescue gray squirrels. I think this is just a riot. All right, even Prince... Oh, wrong guy. Sorry, skipped him. All right, even Prince Charles is a patron of the Gray Squirrel Survival Trust and advocates exterminating gray squirrels. You can see how high he's on my list. All right, the gray squirrel remains a wild animal, but one that easily fits into the American landscape and is largely ignored by the majority of the American population. They have advocates, and they have opponents who consider them tree rats. Today, people spend hundreds of dollars to feed them and even build nests for them. The grays, or my boys, as I refer to them, know my car and wait for my daily arrival, hoping for a treat of peanuts in the shell. I only buy the good, safe ones. Movements have not taken place since 1967, and gray squirrels have simply become part of the urban as well as the rural landscapes. Thank you.